Welcome back. In this lesson, we're cleaning up a chopped vinyl texture in Ableton Live 12 for that jungle and old-school DNB vibe. And we're doing it the smart way. Keep the character, lose the junk, and keep the CPU light. This is one of those finishing stage moves that can instantly make a track feel more authentic. A dusty vinyl chop can bring in that lived-in, sample-rooted energy, but if you leave the rumble, the harsh fizz, and the messy stereo spread untouched, it can blur your breaks, cloud your sub, and make the whole mix feel smaller than it should. At 170 BPM and up, every little problem gets magnified fast. So the goal here is not to sterilize the texture. We want to sculpt it so it behaves like a deliberate atmosphere layer, not a noisy distraction. First thing, decide what job this vinyl texture is doing in the track. Is it intro ambience? Is it sitting under the break as a rhythmic bed? Is it a transition sweep before the drop? Or is it there to add tension in a breakdown? That decision matters because the processing should match the role. If it's an intro bed, you can let it breathe a little more and keep some width. If it's supporting the main drop, it should be tighter, darker, and less likely to fight the kick, snare, or sub. Think like a mastering engineer here. You're not trying to make the texture sound huge on its own. You're trying to make it fit the arrangement. Now let's build a lean cleanup chain. Start with utility. This is your first CPU-friendly control point. Pull the gain down a few dB if the sample is hot. Then check the width. If the texture feels too smeared or too wide in the low mids, narrow it a bit. A width range around 75 to 90% is often enough to make it sit more confidently. If the track is really dense and you want that texture right in the middle, you can even go mono, but only if that suits the arrangement. Next, go into EQ8. This is where you remove the obvious problems. High-pass the texture somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz to get rid of rumble, thumps, and low-end junk that absolutely does not need to live in a drum and bass mix. If the sample still feels muddy, add a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz. That's often where the cloudiness lives. And if the crackle is too sharp or splashy, trim a little around 6 to 9 kHz. You don't need much. Small moves go a long way. Then add a gate. This is a really underrated move for chopped vinyl. The idea is not to create a hard stutter effect unless you want that. The goal is just to tidy up the silent gaps between chops so you're not wasting CPU on unnecessary tails and hiss. Set the threshold so it only closes when the texture is basically idle. Keep the attack quick, the hold modest, and the release natural enough that the chops still breathe. That combo alone, utility into EQ8 into gate, solves a lot. It clears the low end, trims the worst noise, and makes the sample easier to place in the mix. Now, if the texture needs a little more density, add saturator after the gate. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to crush it. Just a little drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB, can bring out that smoked, worn, tapish energy that works so well in jungle intros and darker rollers. Turn on soft clip if needed, and only use enough wet signal to give it some edge. If it starts getting spiky, reduce the input before you push the saturator harder. If the sample is rhythmic and needs a bit more punch or focus, you can try drum bus very lightly, but be careful. This is texture mastering, not a drum bus chain. A tiny amount can tighten up the body, but too much and you'll flatten the personality right out of it. At this point, if the texture still feels too static, bring an auto filter. This is where the old school movement comes alive. Put it after the cleanup, or before the saturation if you want the filter to act on a dirtier sound. Use a low pass if you want to tame the top, or a high pass if you want to strip the bottom even further. For jungle-style tension, automate the frequency slowly over a bar or two. Open it before a snare fill. Close it when the sub hits. Sweep it upward before a switch up. That little motion can make the whole arrangement feel intentional. And here's a good mindset shift. In older jungle arrangements, texture movement is glue. It helps connect break edits and bass changes, so the track feels like one living thing instead of a bunch of chopped parts. If the vinyl layer is still uneven after all that, add a compressor, but keep it gentle. You're only trying to catch the loudest spikes and keep the texture under control. A low ratio, a medium attack, and only a couple dB of gain reduction is usually enough. If the pops are still too wild, the compressor can smooth them out, but don't overflatten it. The charm is in the motion. If you need a safety net at the very end, you can use a limiter with the ceiling around -1 dB, but only as protection, not for loudness, just for control. For a little extra life, you can use auto pan very lightly. Slow movement, small amount, smooth shape. That's often enough to keep the texture breathing without eating CPU. I choose that over stacking a bunch of modulation effects. Minimal tools, maximum intention. That's the vibe. Now here's the biggest CPU win in the whole lesson. Resample the result. Once the chain sounds right, print that cleaned vinyl texture to audio. Solo the track, record or resample it to a new audio track, and then flatten or consolidate it if you don't need the live chain anymore. This is huge in drum and bass, because your session is already working hard with breaks, bass, impacts, atmospheres, and transitions. A rendered texture keeps the project light and stable. After that, treat the texture like a mastering aware layer. Compare it against the full mix at equal perceived loudness, not soloed. A texture that sounds exciting by itself can become way too loud once the drums and bass come in. In the drop, the vinyl should usually be felt more than heard. If it's clearly noticeable over the drums, it may already be too loud. A really good trick here is to sidechain the texture lightly from the drum bus or snare. Just a little ducking, maybe 1 to 2 dB, can create space for the crack of the break while still letting the vinyl breathe behind it. That's a classic jungle move. Keep the atmosphere alive, but never let it step on the rhythm. Now automate it with the arrangement. Don't just leave it looping the same way the whole track. Let it evolve. For the intro, it can be wider and more open. In the pre-drop, let the filter open gradually. In the drop, narrow it and tuck it back. In the breakdown, bring it forward again for emotion. Those changes don't have to be dramatic. In fact, small shifts often hit harder than constant movement. If you want a reusable setup, save the whole thing as an audio effect rack or bake it into your template. Map useful macros like cleanup cutoff, vinyl width, drive, gate tightness, movement, and output trim. Then you can pull up a consistent texture chain in any project and adapt it fast. A couple of important listening tips before we wrap up. If the chopped vinyl layer still feels busy after cleanup, focus on what part of the spectrum is actually telling the story. In jungle, a lot of the identity lives in the upper mids and transient dust, not the low hiss. You can remove a surprising amount and still keep the vibe. Also, check your silent gaps. Long tails and wide modulation in those gaps can waste CPU and clutter the feel. Keep them clean. For darker DNB, you can darken the texture with a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz if it gets too shiny. For a brighter old-school vibe, let a bit more air stay in, and keep the filter movement slower and more nostalgic. And if you want it to sit behind a Reese bass line, make sure the 150 to 500 Hz range stays out of the way. So the big takeaway is this. A great chopped vinyl texture in DNB should sound alive, but controlled. Clean first, shape second, automate for arrangement impact. Then print it and keep your session lean. If you do this well, the texture stops being background noise and starts acting like glue, tension, and character all at once. That's the sweet spot. Alright, next up. Build your own cleaned-up vinyl chain in Ableton Live 12, resample it, and test it under a break, a sub-heavy Reese, and a sparse intro. Compare which version supports the track best while using the least CPU. That's the real win.